Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. My name's Eric. I'm going to be your host for this fun journey. So thanks for tuning in and listening to me once again. This is episode number 2. So appreciate you guys listening to episode 1. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe for this podcast. And if you happen to be seeing this on YouTube, feel free to click subscribe for the channel. This is going to be part 1 of a 3-part series where I'm going to talk about my main strategies for creating income, using options. Hopefully you guys tuned in last week when I covered not a whole lot. I really just introduced myself and talked about life at the CBOE, where I traded for about 6 years back in the 2000s. And I think I also mentioned that I spent the last 10 years in energy, and now I am returning to my love, actually getting to combine two of my passions. One is option trading. I love option trading. It makes sense to me. It's a game of mathematics and statistics. Don't worry. I promise not to scare you too much with that. But it just makes sense to me much more than just, you know, buying and hoping the market goes up or selling and thinking it's going to go down. And then number two, I learned a couple years back after I created a little product that I actually love teaching. I get a certain amount of joy from hearing from folks and hearing that either my story or the things that I taught them, you know, made them money and made sense. There are a lot of option books out there that are really confusing because it's easy to get tied down in, you know, which option models should I use to create these option prices. And then you get this price and you're like, it doesn't line up with the market. How does this all work out? You know, and you start talking about theoretical edge and there's all sorts of stuff. I mean, you can dive into the Greeks. And one of the things that's helped me make money in the last 10 years is the fact that I was able to remove myself from a lot of that sort of noise, if you will. Not to say it doesn't have value, but it doesn't make sense for every investor. I've been able to remove myself from some of that and just truly focus on what makes money. Where do I make money? Where do I lose money? And if I'm making money, how do I lock that in so that I capture the most amount of money and minimize risk? And if I'm losing money, what can I do to my position to make sure that I stop the bleed and start making money again, if at all possible? So I know last episode I shared an example where I had a trade that, you know, cost me money, and I ultimately had to, you know, sell some straddles. I was long puts, and the market went significantly higher. It cost me a bit of money pretty quickly, and I had to grind it out. Sold some straddles at a higher volatility level. Was able to make some money back with that trade and a couple others that I had around it. But the beauty of options are, if you understand the sort of risk, or really, if you understand the characteristics of individual calls and individual puts, you will be able to either, you know, minimize the damage that's caused from a trade. You can turn a single trade into another trade. Like, you can take an individual option, sell another option against it, turn it into a spread. You can do things with different strikes and turn it into butterflies. You can do things in other calendar months, and now you've spread off the risk or maybe rolled the risk forward. I mean, there's so many things. It's easy to get confused, but the goal, my goal in trading and my goal in teaching is clarity. If you understand, if you have clarity about what the individual options do, then hopefully you can find a way to piece it all together to make some money. So, all of that being said, I don't have any announcements. Normally I'd be doing announcements this week. For these first few episodes, I'm really just recording these, just so I can, go ahead and post them online and give you guys more than a single episode to listen to when you find my podcast. Once again, thank you for having a listen. Upcoming weeks, I know we're going to run a contest, with the podcast launch. I've got a bunch of books, some books that I think are awesome. And, you know, a lot of people don't read books, but for those of you that are into reading books, you know, this will definitely, you know, these books are definitely worth having. If you don't already have them, they're worth adding to your trading library. I love having a library of books because every now and then you'll face a situation that is a little difficult or maybe a little unusual, and just returning to the books can help you find a academic solution to a real challenge or real problem. So I'm going to be, you know, we'll have a contest, and I'll send you, you know, I don't know, 3, 4, maybe 5 of my favorite option trading books, just so you'll have the, a start to your own trading library. So with that being said, let's dive into this episode. So for this first episode, I think I'm going to start back at square one, which is covered calls and short puts. So again, this show is really about trading options for income. So I'm going to go with the assumption that you know what a call is and go with the assumption that you know what a put is. And if you don't worry. I'm going to be making videos, very basic videos, back on my website, theweeklyoption.com, where you can go and just watch videos. They'll be free. You can take a look and sort of get some basic education so that you can keep up. I want you guys to be able to follow along with me. I'm going to be sharing trades that I make in the market here in the coming weeks. And I definitely want you guys to be able to follow along and understand trades. I'd love for you guys to email me with your trade ideas, your trade suggestions, and we can discuss them on the show. And, you know, if it's ever a situation that makes sense, maybe I'd even, you know, we'd have a Skype call and talk about the position, see what you guys have gotten yourselves into, or see if you're looking at something that that the greater community should take a look at as well. So we're going to start at square one, covered calls. So I think I mentioned last episode, I had a podcast with a good buddy and a colleague of mine where all we did was talk about covered calls. And covered calls are great because every week there are opportunities in the market to make, you know, a significant amount of money, you know, either buying the stock and selling a call against it, or simply selling calls against some stock you already own. The one challenge with covered calls is that it is a directional trade. You will benefit from the movement of the stock, but that also is okay. So the way I start off with the covered call, I normally want there to be, we'll call it, you know, 4 to 6 weeks left in the trade. So if we're looking at this at the beginning of the options month, so right now I'm recording this, it's January 2018. I believe, let me look at a calendar, expiration is coming up. Options expiration, if you're dealing with stock options, is here in the U.S., it's the third Friday of each month. So that means January the 19th is options expiration. So if I were going to make a trade on, say, January the 15th, I wouldn't make that trade in the month of January because, you know, most of the premium has already been taken out, and you're going to be dealing with options that have a higher likelihood of going in the money. Our goal, my goal in this really is twofold. So if I'm trading if I'm selling calls against a stock that I want to continue to own, I don't want to sell it too close to the at the money price because I might end up actually having to sell that stock. Now, granted, if you do sell the stock, you're going to be locking in a profit plus some additional yield. So let's say you're trading a stock that's $30 and you sell the $32 call against it. And then, you know, stock actually goes up $2. So you're capturing that last $2. Plus, let's say you got paid, you know, 50 cents to sell that 32 strike call. if you got paid 50 cents, well, that's another $50. So when the stock was sitting at $30, you locked in an extra 50 cents and, or I'm sorry, at $30 a share, you locked in an extra 50 cents per share and, you know, you sold that stock $2 away. So really you captured an extra $2.50 on that stock. But if you wanted to own the stock, like if you think the stock is actually going to go to 40, you don't want to be in that stock. Like you don't want to sell that stock. You're just trying to get the extra yield. You can always buy that stock in or simply buy the stock, buy the shares to fulfill your obligation on that call. You have a bunch of options. But that being said, I'm going to look at selling the, you know, my goal is at least to capture 50 cents, you know, on each option that I sell. And my goal, so that means I'm not selling nickel calls. I'm not going to take $5 for every 100 shares on the call. I'm going to look at capturing at least 50 cents per share. And I'd like it to be a little bit a ways from the at the money price. And I want there to be some time value in it. So if you remember, option price is a function of time, a function of volatility, and really the probability that that stock will end up expiring in the money and actually have a value, which, you know, ultimately that's what volatility is sort of helping you calculate as well. So that if I know that's what creates the value in an option, then selling an option the week of expiration is very dangerous because it doesn't have that much time value in it. So if I'm trading the week of expiration, I'm going to look at, instead of looking at January options, I'm probably going to look at February, maybe even March options. Now, if I choose a date really far in advance, like March, I know that I'm going to get paid a significant more amount of premium, option premium, because there's a lot more time value in those options. But I also have to consider the fact that, you know, there are other factors that come with that time. Maybe that stock is going to have earnings within those 8 weeks, and that might be priced into that option. So, you know, you have to make sure you know the underlying stock that you're dealing with. If you're dealing with the greater market indice, right? Like, is there a Fed announcement? Is there, like, what sort of things might happen during that time period that are going to affect or change the probability of that option that you sell being in the money or out of the money? So, for our example, let's just think about a stock that doesn't move in price that much. Let's say you own a stock and it's, you know, it's kind of a bread and butter stock. Maybe it kicks off a dividend each year or each quarter rather, and you know, it doesn't move a whole lot. You know, so maybe you look at selling a 20 delta or you know, you sell a little bit out of the money stock option, figuring that the stock doesn't move that much. So let's say you're dealing with a stock that maybe moves a dollar every 6 months. Maybe you sell a strike that's a dollar away or $2 away. Whatever you can do to pick up at least 50 cents is sort of my and I should offer that actually in statistics, because if you're dealing with a stock like Google, I mean, if you're dealing with a stock that has a notional value of over $100 per share, really over even $50 a share, you know, you're going to want to capture more than 50 cents. So those of you that are saying like, oh, well, look at these Google, I mean, I can cap, you know, I can get pay $3 or $4 a share for this at the money call. You can, and that's true, but consider the fact that you're probably going to be giving up that stock. Now, if you want to sell the stock where it is, then that's fine. Or maybe you're going to turn around and buy the stock and sell the calls against it, and have that do that sort of trade. You know, if it may do what's right for your portfolio, but always consider the fact that you may actually have to deliver the stock against that call that you sell. So in general, that's covered calls. I mean, it's a great way if you want to get in the rhythm, get in the habit of doing that every month, every single month. I mean, I've seen multiple situations where you could actually enter a trade. You could have entered a trade and you'd lock up, 8 to 10% of return in just like 2-3 weeks. Now, granted, those are exceptions, and there's normally, again, there's normally a reason why there's so much premium in that stock. Maybe there's an earnings coming up. Maybe there's, some news. I mean, I've taken a couple of punches to the jaw in my life trading biotechs. I mean, they move. They are wicked when they start moving on FDA announcements, but it can also become very expensive. I mean, when you have a covered call, you essentially have, shares of stock that you own, and you have a call option that you've sold against it. Now, if those, everything's great if the market moves up. I mean, you want the market to move up because you own the stock, but you really don't want to have your option exercised. So you want it to finish, you want stock to finish somewhere between the price where you own the stock from and the strike price of that option. If it goes beyond the stock price, you're going to have to give up your stock. It's fine. You've captured some option premium and you've made money on your stock, but you might actually miss further or future run-ups in the value of that stock. Here's the problem with covered calls is that you don't have any real protection against the stock move down. So let's go back to the example where you have a $30 option. I'm sorry, you have a $30 underlying, a $30 stock price, and you're selling the $32 call for 50 cents. Well, the good thing is that what you've actually done in receiving that 50 cents is you've lowered your price on that stock, your actual point of losing money, down to $29.50. Because you received 50 cents per share on that call, you've lowered your overall risk now to $29.50 on that stock rather than $30 where it is right now. So that's great. You have a little wriggle room on the downside. But if the stock price falls below $29.50, you actually now are losing money. You're losing money on not only the whole position, but you're losing money on that original stock that you owned. Granted, if you already own the stock, you're carrying that risk right now. But, it's something that you have to think about. So covered calls are not always my favorite income strategy, but it's one of the ones that you'll hear guys suggest often because most of you probably have a stock portfolio. If you have a stock portfolio, you already are bearing the risk of the price moving down or moving against you. So selling some calls against it is sort of, it's the landlord trade. It's getting paid for keeping that stock in your portfolio. And if you do end up having to sell the stock against the call option, well, what you really have done is you've obviously captured the upside of the stock and you got paid some additional money via the option price that you sold. So it's not a bad thing. You just have to ask yourself if you really want to sell the stock or not, or if you can always just, again, buy more stock in the open market and deliver that stock against the call. So that's covered calls. If I wasn't clear, forgive me. Sometimes it's easy, when you've been doing something for a long time, things that are sort of intuitive or simple in your mind may still be sort of foggy to other people. But like I said, I'll be posting some videos, some training videos on the website, so you can actually just go there and, in fact, I'll make videos about all of this stuff so that you can go, you can take a look, watch the videos, and get some basic understanding, maybe a couple of examples so that you understand what I'm talking about. The next thing that I wanted to discuss was selling puts, actually naked selling of puts, for those of you that like the word naked. If the word naked offends you, don't worry, this is not about anything that would be bad. It just means selling an option that is unhedged. So the risk of selling a put is that you have to buy the stock at a lower price than where the market currently is. So let's use that $30 stock example. Let's say I decide to sell the 28 strike put. And once again, I'm going to receive some money. Let's say I receive 50 cents for it. Well, if the stock goes up, then I don't have to worry about anything. I keep that 50 cents per share in my account. Everyone's happy. We high five each other. We do it again next month and try and make some more money. But what happens if the stock goes down? Well, if the stock price drops below $28, then the person who I sold that put option to now has an in the money put, and I have to buy their shares, right? A put option is basically a contract to short the market at a specific price. If I sold it, that means that I am allowing someone to sell the market, which means I have to buy those shares. So if, let's say the stock is trading $30 and I don't want to buy the stock at 30, but I think buying it at 28, you know, almost 10% cheaper, I think it's a great deal. So yeah, I'd love to buy the shares at $28. So rather than you know, putting a stop, stop loss in the market to buy, or a market order to purchase that stock at $28, if it drops down, I'm just going to go ahead and sell a put, because A, I get to get paid for having my order out in the market. So I'll go ahead and collect some option premium. B, I'm going to turn around and be able to buy the stock at 28. If I think that stock is if I think it's a great buy there, and assuming no new information, nothing new has changed, no CEOs have changed, you know, big news items negatively affecting the stock, like assuming everything else is the same, and I still would love to be in that company, belong those shares, then selling the put is a great way to kind of have a market order out there and get paid for it. In fact, it's a go-to income strategy, which is why we're talking about it right now. If you've got a stock, so one of the things I'll take a step back and say is that we're coming off of a year where the S&P, you know, 2017, we had 12 consecutive months of positive gains in the S&P 500. That has not happened. In fact, we are already in record, this is record levels. And I believe if we get 5 or 6 more consecutive months, this will actually turn into the greatest bull market our economy has ever seen. That's huge. So along the way, if you'd been, trading covered calls, then you probably either, you know, maybe you made some money, but you may have actually gotten your stock exercised each time you put one on. That becomes very frustrating if you're just looking to create income while keeping your stock in your portfolio and maintaining your original tax basis, your original cost basis. But let's say you've been selling puts the whole time. If you'd been selling puts this whole time, I mean, you cleaned up. I know guys that are making, you know, multiple six figures just selling puts again and again and again, because the market keeps going higher and, you know, they're comfortable owning the stock if the market dips lower. So in a bull market, selling puts can be a very effective trade. You're expecting the stock to keep climbing or grinding a little bit higher. You get exercised on those puts, so be it. But most likely, if the market's going higher, you won't get exercised. And hey, it's money that's sitting out there on the table. Investors who buy puts are using them for protection anyway. So anytime you're selling an option, you're selling insurance. The beauty of that is if they never exercise, if they never need the insurance, then you just get to keep the premium, kind of like you become State Farm or, Allstate or any of these other places that collect your premium month after month, even though you haven't had an accident since you were 16 years old. So that's the case. Those are the first two income strategies I wanted to discuss: covered call options and naked puts or short puts. In the coming weeks, we're going to talk about a couple more of my strategies that I really like. That, you know, each strategy has a little different sort of risk scenario. But one thing's for sure is everything that I cover on this program, at least my current plan right now, is to focus on income strategies, because I like making money each month. I like seeing the account go a little bit higher, because all of those little bits add up to a lot at the end of the year. And I hope the same happens for you. So that's the scoop. Definitely listen to the next episode where I'm going to cover part two of my income strategies I intend to discuss on the show. So that's it. Have a wonderful day. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.